All right, Kibbutz, say good morning. Today's daf is Yudchas 18. We are picking up Yud Zayin Amud Beis 17b at the Toshma, which is 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up at the bottom. So remember again, to reorient ourselves a little bit, we are in the midst of a riveting machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Namely, the Mishnah introduced us to the idea that I have to distance my bar. My bar, when you say bar, I'm using bar as a generic term for any ditch that you're digging within your field. I have to distance my bar 3 tefachim from my friend's bar, from my friend's wall, which again we already discussed. 3 tefachim effectively means 6 tefachim because each bar is given a wall thickness, a wall width of 3 tefachim itself. Okay, so now the shayla is, what happens if I'm digging a bar on my field and my friend has nothing in his field? Can I go ahead and build my bar right up against the property line or not? Or is there a concept of a bar setback even if my friend's bar does not yet exist? This is Machlokes Abaye and Rava. Abaye says Somich. Abaye says if my friend has no bar in his field, there's no bar setback, I can go ahead and build my bar right on the property line, or dig my bar. Rava says, Eina somech. And Rava says, no, the halacha is, you always must observe the bar setback, even if my friend does not have an active bar in his field. So, you know, we jumped ahead a little bit yesterday. I did the Shulchan Aruch with you. But we're going to further clarify the sugya. So says the Yimara, Tashma, Sela Abab Yadam. So this is an interesting case. Let's say again, Sela Abab Yadam, look at Rashi. Habab Yadayim, Karkarach, Hamiskasesh, excuse me, Me'elav. So this is very soft dirt that crumbles in your hands. So says the Gemara, so Salabab Yadayim, Zeh Chofer Boro Mikan, Zeh Chofer Boro Mikan. This one digs his pit in his field, this one digs his pit in his field, Zeh Marachik Shosha Tvachim Vesad Besid, Zeh Marachik Shosha Tvachim Vesad Besid. Ultimately, this one has to distance his bar 3 tefachim from the property line and line the walls with plaster or with lime. And this one has to distance his bar 3 tefachim from the property line and line the walls with sid as well. Now, what do you see from here, Rabbi Osei? What you see from here, this lashon of Zeh Marchik Esatzmo tells us that even if I am digging the bar in my field, and what? Reuven has nothing in his field, I am still obligated to observe the bar setback. So this would seem to support the position of Abaye. Excuse me. This would seem to support the position of Rava, of Eino Somich, that you must always observe the bar setback. And poses a kasha on Abaye, to which the Gemara says, no. Bob Yadayim Shiny. To which the Gemara answers, it's different. When you have a field, Rabosai, of such soft dirt, there may be obligations that are to be observed in that field that would not necessarily be in place with other types of fields. So, for example, the bar setback may apply in this kind of area because if you don't distance your bar, because of the soil quality, you can negatively impact your friend's field. With the Kari Law, my Kari Law. So if that's the case, that Bab Yadayim, such a soft soil field, is different, then why was the kasha posed to begin with? I would have thought that Rav say in a field where there is soft soil, maybe if I'm digging my bar, I have to distance it even more than 3 tefachim from the property line. Because Rav say I would have thought that again. Remember, what's the issue? The issue is with a field of soft soil. The Havamina was that when I dig in my field, I'm actively weakening the soil in my friend's field. So the Havamina was, maybe I should have to distance even more than 3 tefachim from the property line. Kamashmala, no. I must observe the bar setback, but it's still only 3 tefachim. Rabbo say, well, what comes out over here, according to this particular Braisa, is the idea, like Rava, namely that one is obligated to observe the bar setback, even if what? Even if my friend has not yet dug anything in his field. Tashma. The Gemara goes weiter. Remember again, one is, we actually saw this in the Mishnah as well, one is obligated to distance. Gefes, remember, is olive pulp. After you've pressed the olives, the leftover pulp, Zevel is manure, ve'es tap of yurches medala, ve'es hamelach and salt, ve'es hasid and lime, ve'es hasloim, remember, are stones used to produce fire, mikoslo shel chavero gimel tvachim, O sad besid. So we'll say a person is obligated to distance all of these items from the wall, from his friend's wall, for three tefachim. O sad besid, or he plasters it with lime. So taima di iko kosla. So we'll say the reason I'm obligated to go ahead and observe a setback and distance these items for three tefachim is why? Because my friend has a wall. Haleka kosla. But what we can infer from this is what? That were there not to be a wall, we'll call him Reuven. Were Reuven not to have a wall in his field, somich. That what's the halacha, Bosai? The halacha is that I would be permitted to put all of these items where? Right on the property marker. Which tells you that what? Which again is a support for Abaye and a kasha and Rava. That halacha lamaisa, where there's nothing that exists in my friend's field, I have the ability to go ahead and build or do whatever, or I should say use the area right up until the property marker. To which the Gemara says, no, lo. Kileka kosel nami lo samach. In reality, even if the wall is not there, I still must observe a setback. Meaning what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, there is a built-in setback. The halacha is, you should always go ahead and distance certain items from the property line. Ve'alamai kamashon. So what is the lesson being taught here? Ha'kamashon, dahani kashu l'kosel. So we'll say that what's being taught over here is, that these items are difficult for a wall. So we'll say, the Braisa is teaching me, or the Mishnah is teaching me, that Aloha Lamai said these items have a detrimental impact on the wall. The Gefes, the Zevel, the Melach, the Sid, the Sloim, and therefore again, they must be distanced. Tashma. So we'll say, again, we're just trying to resolve this machlok between Abaye and Rava. So Tashma, next case. Marchikin es hazuroim, ve'esa macharisha, ve'es mi raglayim minakosel shlosha tvachim. So what's the halacha? If I am planting in my field, I must distance the seeds and the macharisha, the plow. I may not allow my plow. There must be a distance between my plow and my neighbor's field. Ves mi raglayim and urine, minakosel from the wall, shlosha tvachim. Three tefachim. So what does this price teach me? This price indicates to me that halacha lemaisa, in the event that my friend has a wall, I'm obligated to distance my usage of my field three tefachim. What do we infer from here? Taima dikakosa. The reason I have to observe a setback is why? Because my friend has a wall. Haleka kosel. But if my friend did not have a wall, samich. Then I could infer from this that what? I would be permitted to go ahead and use the area right up until the wall. So we'll say, so again, if Reuven's not using anything in his field, I could use the area right up to the wall.
The border.
I'm sorry?
The wall or the border?
If there is no wall, I could use the area up until the property line.
Right.
So the Gemara says, lo, and we'll say again, remember, that would be a proof to Abaye and a kasha and Rava, to which the Gemara says, lo, that is not the case. Kileka kosel nami lo samich. In reality, even when there is no wall, you can't go ahead and go all the way up to the property line. So the elamai kamash malon. So what are we being taught over here? Ha kamash malon demisunasa kasha lekosel. We'll say what this is teaching us is that moisture has a detrimental effect on the wall. So, okay, that's the lesson that's being taught. So meaning the braisa by definition accepts an obligation for a setback, for what we'll call the usage setback. And the Bryce is just telling me that, by the way, moisture is detrimental for my neighbor's wall. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Vesarechayim min hashachav, Vesarechayim gimel min hashachav, Shein dalid min harachav. So remember, again, the Mishnah taught us that if I have a mill in my chatzer, so I must distance. Remember, the mill has two parts. There's the upper millstone and the lower millstone. The lower millstone is wider. The upper millstone is smaller. So the halacha is, I must distance my millstone from the border, from the property line, three tefachim from the lower stone, which is four tefachim from the upper stone. To which the Gemara says, Taima di'ika kosel. Now, the reason I have to distance this is why? Because there is a wall. Now, again, I will say, all the Gemara is doing is just understanding the Braisa literally. So because there is a wall, that's I'm obligated to observe a setback. So the Gemara says, ha, leka kosel, samech. If there were not to be a wall there, then what? I would be able to use my property right up until the property line. And again, I will say, remember, there would be a raya to Abaye and a kasha on Rabbah. To which the Gemara says, lo. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Ki lecha kosel nami lo samach. Even if there's not a wall, you have to observe a setback as well. The Elamai Kamashmalan. So I say, so what is the Mishnah coming to teach me? Hakamashmalan Ditaira Kasha Lakosa. It's coming to teach me, I will say that what? That a vibration, by any kind of a vibration, has a detrimental impact on the wall. So we'll say, so remember, all of these, this action of using the grinding mill, the constant and consistent vibration will have a negative impact on the wall. Therefore, again, you have to go ahead and distance, but in Achinami, even if the wall is not there, you still have to observe some type of usage setback. To which the Gemara says, Tashua. So it was, again, just trying to go ahead and get clarity on the machlokes Abaye and Rava. So Tashma, ve'es hatanur shlosha min hakalyo, shein dalid min hasafa. So remember again, similarly, if I have a tanur, I have an oven in my chatzer, so what's the halacha? The oven also has two parts. It has a wider lower part, and a more narrow upper part. So I have to go ahead and distance the tanur from my friend's wall. Three tvachim from the kalya, which is four tvachim from the safa. Kalya is the bottom part, safa is the upper part. Time of Dika Kosa, same thing. The reason I have to distance it is why? Because my friend has a wall in his field, so Haleka Kosa Samech. But if my friend did not have a wall, then what? I'd be permitted to put my oven right by the property line. To which the Gemara says, Lo, Kileka Kosa Nami Lo Samech. It's not true. Even if there is no wall, you still can't put the oven right by the property line. Ela Mai Kamashon. So what is the Bryce? What is Mishnah coming to teach us? Hakamashon da Havla Kosha Lakosa. It's coming to teach us that what? That the Hevel, the hot air, has a detrimental effect on the wall. Okay? We'll say now we're going to quote from the next Mishnah. Tashma, Lo Yiftach Adam Chanus Shal Nachtumin V'Shal Tzevoim Tachas Otso Shal Chaver. This is actually an interesting case. I cannot open up, literally, a smithery? I don't know if that's the right... the smithery. Okay, I can't open up my blacksmith shop. Foundry. Right. I'm sorry?
A foundry?
Good. A foundry. Good. Somebody's going to Google it now. All right. Sorry. A foundry. Or, so, Chanos Shalachtumun Veshel Tzavon. Or, a dyer's store. Tachas Otsro Shel Chavero. Right? A diary. Right. Tachas Otsro Shel Chavero. Underneath the storehouse of my friend. Now take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi says, Chanos Shel Nachtumin, Mochrei Lechem Shemasikin Shal. So we'll say, see, here's what's interesting. See, here Rashi understands actually to mean a bakery. Right? A bakery. Even though Nachtum sometimes doesn't have to mean a bakery. Okay. In this context, Rashi understands it to be a bakery. So I can't open up a bakery underneath the Otsa. Rashi says, Aliyah Sheotsrin Ba Tvua. The shemen, the yayin. So I will say, so imagine the following. My friend has a storehouse, an otsar, in which he keeps either grain or oil or wine. I can't open up a bakery underneath it. Why can't I open up a bakery underneath it? So Rashi says over here, va'ashran kashalam, because a bakery is producing constant heat, constant smoke, and that heat and smoke will have a detrimental impact on the produce that is above. So it says Zimar furthermore, below Refes Bakar, I also can't open up a stable, right? A stable underneath my friend's storehouse either. And she says, below Refes Bakar, Hareach Kashalahem. Because at the end of the day, the smell has a detrimental effect ultimately on the items being stored above. To which the Gemara says, Taima Diika Otsar. Now the reason I can't open up these items is why. Meaning the reason I can't open up a bakery and I can't open up a stable in my domicile is why? Because there is an already existing Otsar. Haleka Otsar, but were there not to be, meaning let's say my friend did not have a storehouse above me, then what? Then I would be permitted to go ahead and Haleka Otsar of it. If there was not an Otsar there, then I'd be permitted to go ahead and open up whatever I want. So what does that show you? What that shows you is that as long as my friend does not have his thing there first, I am permitted to do whatever I want in my property, right up until the property line. To which the Gemara says, Dira shiny. A domicile is different. Look at Rashi. What does that mean? Chanos v'refes bakar dirasan shel adonain. Ve'eino lonu le'esra dirasa alav ela imkein ha'hezek muchan. So we'll say, Twitch, the Gemara says you can't bring a raya from a domicile to a chatzar. In other words, in my home, I guess it was common for people to open up businesses, right? Literally home businesses, businesses in their home. And apparently it wasn't so uncommon to do some things with livestock in my home as well. To which the Gemara says, one's own domicile is a bit different. In general, I am permitted to do whatever I want in my house, as long as it does not actively damage someone right now. So meaning, if I'm living on the bottom story, Reuven's living on the upper story, if Reuven already has his storehouse there, I can't open up my bakery, I can't open up my stable, because that will adversely impact him. But if he is not yet doing anything in those areas that would be adversely affected by my stable or by my bakery, then halacha lemaisa, I am permitted to do it. But that's because it's my domicile. And I have greater leeway with my domicile than I do with my chatzar. Now we will discuss, what about the fact that it just impacts Reuven's living there? So we'll, that we'll discuss, what about just the, you know, even if I'm not storing my produce there, right? At the end of the day, living with that smell, or living with the heat, or living with, so we'll discuss all of those in Yonim. The point that the Gemara is making is, you can't bring a raya from this case, which deals with a domicile, to the case that we're discussing, which is the case of a chatzar. Daikanami, the Tani Allah. So we'll say, we can bring a raya to this, because remember again, the Mishnah says about this case, Im Haisa Refes Bakar, Kodemes La'otzar Mutter, that if I had my stable there, before Reuven began to store his produce there, then ultimately it's Mutter. Fine, Tashma. We'll say, we're still trying to prove who's right. In Machlokes Abayin Rava, Tashma. Lo Yita Adam Ilan Samoch L'Sada. We'll say, a person should not plant a tree. I should not plant a tree next to the field of my friend. Ela imkein hirchik mimenu dalet ames. Unless, of course, what? I distance the tree dalet ames from my friend's chatzar, from my friend's sada. V'tani ala. And again, we spoke about this saying. Why dalet ames? Dalet ames shamru kedei avodas hakerem. This dalet ames is necessary. Why? To allow, ultimately, again, for the working of the vineyard. We'll say, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Ela imkein hirchik mimenu arba amos. Says Rashi, Kidim mefarish time kidei avodas hakerem, shahayu charshim hakerem acharisha, v'chein b'shas habatzir botrin osam ba'agalos, v'tzarech lahen makom panoi arba amos lo tikanis eglas macharisha b'karko chavira. So we'll say, there always has to be a four amos setback, right? In order that what? In order that I have room to navigate my plow. Right, so if I have an agricultural field, there is an automatic, what we'll call a 4 amma agricultural setback that allows for the plow to navigate in that area. And also during harvest time, I should be able to harvest my crop without having to walk on my friend's field. To which the Gemara says, "Bless you, taima mishum kedei avodas hakerem." Interestingly enough, the reason you have to have a setback is why. In order to allow me to proper utilize my field, to proper work my field, take a look at Rashi. Taima mishum avodas hakerem shumaziko beadayim halav hachisamech va'af agav sheispashtu sharashav viaziko besade bein la'akim acharisha bein la'chafira. So I want to say, listen to this. So the Gemara, just follow this train of thought. The Gemara saying is the following. Gemara is quoting this price that says, if I plant a tree in my chatzar, I have to make sure to observe a 4 amma agricultural setback. What's the 4 amma agricultural setback? That I should have enough room on my field that I can navigate my plow on my property without having to encroach on my friend's property. So the Gemara infers the following. The reason I have to observe a setback is in order to allow for room for the plow. If there were not that necessity for an agricultural setback, I could plant my tree right on the property line, even though what? There's the possibility that the roots will grow into my friend's chatzar and potentially adversely, negatively impact things in the future. But again, the logic seems to be, but since Reuven doesn't have anything there right now that could be adversely impacted by my tree, therefore I am permitted to plant my tree there right up against the property line, which would seem to support the position of Abaye and contradict Rava, to which the Gemara says, Va'af al-gav de'ikash roshin de'kamaski. Sounds like, again, were it not for the agricultural setback, I could plant my tree right on the property line, even though, again, in the future, there may be roots that would come out that would adversely impact Reuven's field, to which the Gemara says, no, 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 hachamai askinon, what's the case over here? The mafsik tsunma. I'll say mafsik tsunma means there is a rock that divides between our field. So there's some subterranean rock between my field and Reuven's field. What's the mile of subterranean rock in this situation? It will prevent, ultimately, again, the roots from growing from my field into Reuven's field. That's the case where I can go ahead and plant my tree right on the property line. Dekanami Diktani, let's say the Brisa supports this reading as well. Haya Geder Bein Saim, right? If there was a gate, or if there was a fence, excuse me, in between the two fields, Ze Somech Legeder Mikan, Ze Somech Legeder Mikan. Each of the two parties is permitted to plant or to do whatever they want right up until the fence. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, Ema Seifa, if that's the case, what do we do at the end of that Mishnah that says, Hayu Shvashav Yotzin Besoch Shel Chavero? If let's say I planted the tree and it turns out that's what? That my roots do grow into Reuven's field. What's Talacha? Ma'amik Lohen Shlosha Tvachim. Reuven is permitted to cut any roots that extend into his field. He is permitted to cut those roots at a depth of 3 tefachim. Why a depth of 3 tefachim? Kedesh lo ya'akev ha-macharisha. In order that those roots not go ahead and obstruct the plow from properly plowing the soil. So again, this is such an interesting halacha. So if I plant my tree and my roots go into Reuven's field, Reuven has the right to cut those roots at a depth, ultimately, again, of 3 tefachim. The Rabbi says, it says the Gemara, V'id mafsik tzunma, my bow hasam. But I understand you just set up the case as where there is a rock in between the two fields. If there's a rock in between the two fields, then what? How are the roots growing into Reuven's field? Hachi kamar. This is what the Mishnah means to say. V'ilav tzunma. So case number one is, if there is subterranean rock, then what is the halacha? I can plant my tree right on the property line because there is no problem, right? And if there is no rock, then what's the halacha? If there was no rock and my roots do extend into my friend's chatzar, then what's the halacha? Ma'amik shlosha tfachim kedei shlo ya'akiva macharisha. The Rebbe say, in that case, what is the halacha? The halacha is, Reuven could go ahead and dig down up to 3 tefachim, and he could cut any roots that he finds within 3 tefachim of the soil surface. Tashma, so we'll say again, still no clarity. Tashma, marchikin ha-sa'ilin min ha-bar asher mechamish amah. So we'll say, listen to this, interesting halacha. Reuven has a bar on his property, and I want to plant a tree on my property. The halacha is, I must distance my tree from his bar 25 amos. So the Rosh, because the assumption over here is that what? The assumption over here is that the tree's roots are nespashet, usually spread out for up to a distance of 25 amos. So what do we see from here? Time adika bar. The reason I have to observe, we'll call it an arboreal setback. Thank you. Right, an arboreal setback, right? I think that works. That works. You're a lawyer. Don't give me that look, right? So the reason I have to observe the arboreal setback, the tree setback, is why? Is because at the end of the day, there is a tree. Excuse me, there is a bar. There's an already existing bar. Ha leka bar, who will say, what do I see from here? That were there not to be a bar there, then what? Samech. I'd be permitted to plant my tree right on the border, meaning right on the property line. Both say, again, remember, we are trying to focus on one simple question, which is, we know the halachos of setbacks when the other party's item already is in existence, whatever that item is. Meaning, if Reuven has a bar, or Reuven has a co-cell, or Reuven has what, so I know already the setbacks I have to observe. The shayla we're trying to clear over here is, if Reuven doesn't yet have a bar, Reuven doesn't yet have a co-cell, do I have to observe this? Do I have to proactively observe the setback or no? That's the fundamental kasha. Abaye says no, Rava says yes. So says the Gemara, the Brisa now tells me that if Reuven has a bar and I am planting a tree, I have to distance my tree 25 amos. Oh, so what are you telling me? You tell me the reason I have to observe the setback, the tree setback, is why? Because at the end of the day, Reuven's bar already exists. I can infer from that, that if Reuven's bar did not exist, then what? Then I would be permitted to plant my tree right up on the property line. To which the Gemara says, no. Seki leka, bar nami lo samech. It's not true. even in a situation where there is no bar, you also can't plant the tree right on the property line. So what is the Braisa teaching me? That really, the Braisa is teaching me a different lesson, which is a lesson in trees, which is that roots pose a danger to something else within 25 amas of the tree. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, what about the end of that Braisa that says, Ve'im ilan kadam lo yakuts? Remember, again, the Braisa seems to explicitly say that if the tree was there before the bar, so the owner of the tree cannot be forced to cut down his bar. In other words, take a look at Rashi. Yihachi ema seifa, ema ilan kadam lo yakuts. So the Gemara says, so listen to this, I'm sorry. Let me read the rest of the Gemara. Ve'idalo samech heichi mishkachas. I'm supposed to listen to this. So now, if you're telling me that even when there is no bar, there's an obligation of a setback, then what do I do with the seifa of that braisa? Because what does the seifa say? That in the event that the tree was already there, and then Reuven digs a bar, and the roots are adversely impacting his bar, Reuven cannot compel upon me to cut down my tree. But one second. If you're telling me that the setback has to be observed no matter what, then what? How can you ever have a case where I am, where Reuven's digging a pit after I planted the tree, and the tree's roots are encroaching on the pit? If you tell me that there's an obligation to observe the setback no matter what, then that case should never come about. To which the Gemara says, what's the case? Kedam Rapapa Belokeah. Oh, Rabbo said, this is really quite fascinating. The way Rapapa understands the case is the following. Belokeah. What does Lokeah mean? Where it's a case of a sale. What is this? Rabbo said, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hakanai Belokeah, Adam Shenata Ilan Besok Sadeu, Ve'acher Kach, Macher Chotzi Sadeu Li Ish Acher, Upa Lokeah the Chafar Bar, Ein Zetzarch Lokutz Ilan Shenato Birshusur. Rabbo said, listen to this case. I have a field. And in my field, I planted a tree. Then what happens? I decide to subdivide my lot. What happens? I sell off one of the portions of my property. And what happens? I retain the parts of the property. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. I retain the parts of the property that has the tree, and I sell Reuven the other part. What happens now? Reuven digs a bar in his other part. He digs the bar, and what happens? The roots of my tree infringe or encroach on his bar. So Reuven says, Silber, you got to cut down your tree. What's the halacha? No, I don't. Why? Because since when I planted that tree, I planted it beheter, right? It was totally permissible for me to plant my tree. I cannot be compelled after the fact to now cut down that tree. To which the Gemara says, Hachanami bilokeach, tashma, marchikines ha-mishra, min hayach. Well, so there's another interesting case. The halacha is I have to distance a mishra, literally is a pool in which you soak flax. Remember, again, in order to make flax usable, you have to soak it. A flax pool. So what's the halacha? You have to distance your flax pool from vegetables, from a vegetable garden. Ve'sakrishim min abitzalim. Because what's interestingly enough, apparently, what ends up happening is that this whatever it is from the flax seeps into the soil, and if the vegetables are growing too close to the flax, so it ruins the vegetables. So the halacha is there must be a distance between the flax pool and the vegetables. Ve'sakrishin min abitzalim. I have to go ahead and distance. Krishin Rabbo say are leeks or gourds. I have to distance them from onions. So apparently, same thing. They have an adverse impact on one another. Ve'sachardol min hadvarim. This is very interesting. I have to distance mustard plants from a beehive. What's the chap with the mustard and the beehives? This is amazing. Rashi says over here, ve'sachardol min hadvarim she'ochlin ha'sachardol. Because what's the problem? The bees come and eat the mustard plants. U'mechadi despiem. It's spicy, right? It's spicy, and what ends up happening? Va'ochlos es devash shalahen. They go back and they consume their own honey. So apparently, the Rabbis say, by the way, this is not like some like type of mesorah. They saw this. I mean, this is just the metzias. So if the bees eat the mustard, they go back and they eat the honey. If they go back and they eat the honey, obviously that causes the owner of the bees a financial loss. Therefore, there's an obligation to distance the bees from the honey. So the Gemara says, taima de'iko yarek. So the reason I have to go ahead and distance the flax pool is because the vegetable patch exists. Ha'leka yarek. But again, if there were not a vegetable patch, then what would be the halacha? samech, I'd be permitted to what? To go ahead and put the flax pool right on the border, right on the property line. To which the Gemara says, lo, ki leka yarek nami lo samech. It's not true. Even if the vegetable patch is not there, I still can't put the flax pool right on the property line. I have a hakamash malon. Dahani kashul adadi. We'll say, so what does it come to teach us? It comes to teach us that ultimately, at this price, it comes to teach us about certain things that have a negative impact on others. Ihachi, Amos Seifa, but if that's the case, look at the Seifa. Rabbi Yossi Matir Bechardo. This is actually very interesting. Rabbi Yossi permits one to go ahead and put the mustard seed next to the bees. Mipnei Sheyachol Lomarlo, because the owner of the mustard seed could tell the owner of the beehive, before you tell me to distance my mustard from your bees, you should distance your bees from my mustard, right? It's a good taina. Right? In other words, you tell me that I have to move my mustard from your bees, you move your bees from my mustard. In other words, Sarah said, remember again, the taina of the bee owner is, he says to the mustard guy, listen, my bees are eating your mustard seeds, they're coming back and they're eating all of the honey. You're a mazik, move your mustard. To which the owner of the mustard seed says to the owner of the bees, you're the mazik. Because remember, I'm sorry they're eating your honey, but they're also eating my mustard plants. So you're the mazik, therefore you should move from me. Sheba'os, why? Sheba'os va'ochlos, ligluge chardaloi. They're coming to go ahead and eat the literally, ligluge means the flowers. The buds of my mustard. Before you turn the page, look at the last Rashi. Go back for just one moment. So Rashi says there's something very important. Rashi says, "Atsha'ata omer liharchik chardalcha midivarai." So the owner of the mustard seed says to the owner of the beehive, "Before you tell me that I have to distance my mustard from your bees," they both say. Rashi says a very important principle. Sha'al hamazik laharchik atzmo. So both say, here's the interesting halacha: if I am damaging someone, who has the obligation to move in order to stem any future damage? So the Gemara operates with the Gemara is assuming right now that it's on the mazik. The damager has the responsibility to remove the damaging force ultimately from the proximity of the damaged party. So we assumed over here when we were reading this Mishnah that what? That the damager ultimately is the mustard. It's the mustard seeds. So therefore, again, the owner of the bees is telling the owner of the mustard, you're a mazik, you're being mazik, my bees, move, because we'll say again, remember, bees aren't going to listen if you tell them to please, right, Shefala, please, remain in the hive, right? Don't go anywhere. Obviously, it's not going to work, so you can't expect that. So we're therefore, the Gemara is operating the assumption that the owner of the mustard is the mazik. To which the Gemara says, well, one second, the owner of the mustard seeds can tell the owner of the bees, you're the mazik. It's your bees that are coming to mazik my plants. After all, they're eating the ligluge chardaloi. They're eating the mustard, literally the mustard flowers, the mustard buds. Therefore, you're the mazik, and therefore the obligation should be upon you, Amid bees. V'i delo samich. So we'll say, now watch this. If halacha l'maisa, so we're talking about a case where what? V'i delo samich. If the person is not putting these items right on the property line, then how does this case ever come about? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. V'ilo samech inish hezek lemeitzer chaveiro afilu b'she'in sham davar hanizok. So again, remember, if we are not operating with the idea that a person has the right to go ahead and put their item right on the property line, when it doesn't at that moment adversely affect another person, how could this case ever come up? Look, finish the Rashi. So v'ilo samech inish hezek lemeitzer chaveiro afilu b'she'in sham davar hanizek. If you're telling me that a setback must always be observed, v'istev Rabbi Yossi v'ilu shtei mazikin hein heichi mashkachos lo delismo chad minayo bereisha hari chaveiro ma'akir v'lox. He will say, the only way these cases happen is if the items are in proximity to each other. But if you're telling me that a setback must always proactively be observed, like the position of Rava, then what? This case never comes up. Meaning, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the fact that these cases come up indicates to me what? That there is no obligation for a proactive setback when my friend has nothing to generate or to trigger that setback. So this would be ultimately, again, a proof to Abaye and a kasha on Rava. To which the Gemara says, no. Mashkachos la, sorry, Amar Rav Papa, But lokeach. Rabbi says, you know where this comes up? This comes up like what we said before. This comes up in the case of lokeach, of the case of a purchaser. So for example, Rabbi says, look at Rashi, be lokeach. Acher sha'asa zen mishra b'soch sadehu, o zora sham chardal, machar mechza sadehu la'acher, velokeach zora sham yerek o ha'emid devorim. So we'll listen to this. What's the case? The case is where I have a piece of property. I put my flax pool there, or whatever you fill in the blank. I subdivided my lot. I sell the other lot now to my friend. He goes and he puts a vegetable garden there. So he says, what's the problem? You have to move your flax pool. Because at the end of the day, now what? Your flax pool is adversely impacting my vegetable garden. To which the Gemara says, Ibalokeach, my time adirabanon. So we'll say, so let's analyze this. If we're talking about a lokeach, right? If we're saying that this is what happened, I subdivided my lot, and now what? And now Reuven wants to put a vegetable garden there, and now there is a proximity issue. Because we're both saying, remember again, there was never a setback. Why was there never a setback? Because I'm dealing in my own property. I'm not putting this. This is nowhere near the property line. This was all happening in my property. Now it's near the property line because I subdivided the lot. So if that's the case, that it's a case of a lokeach, then what's the logic of the Rabbanon? V'od, furthermore, my time of the Rabbi Yossi. What's Rabbi Yossi's logic as well? Afilu mishra v'yarka nami. This should be true even in the case of what? Even in the case of the flax pool and the vegetable, to which the vegetable garden, to which the Gemara says, Amar Ravina, Kasavi Rabbanon. Oh, so we'll say, here's what the Machlokis comes down to. Kasavi Rabbanon, al hamazik la harchik es atzmo. So we'll say, in general, the Rabbanon hold that the mazik always has the obligation of relocation. That's the halacha. That whenever I am a mazik, now by the way, this is going to get into a much more complicated sugya, which is quite fascinating, which is, I understand that as a mazik, I have to remove the damaging power. Now, what the Gemara seems to be saying over here is that's true even if what? Even if the item being adversely affected is introduced at a latter time. Now that is a very dramatic statement to make, because here what that can mean is I'm operating within the bounds of the law. I've done nothing wrong. Now Metzias has changed. Now suddenly again I'm a mazik. I wasn't a mazik before, and I actually took care not to be a mazik. Now suddenly I'm a mazik. Could it be that there's an obligation to go ahead and remedy that hezek now? So again, the Gemara is suggesting over here that that might be the case. Ala mazik laharchis es atzmo, that the mazik has the obligation to distance himself. Now here's the problem. Mechlad Rabbi Yossi Savar al hanizik laharchis es atzmo. Now both sides, remember, here's what we know based on the way this brisa played out over here on Amud Aleph. There is a machlokis between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara now is suggesting that perhaps that machlokis is in a situation where damage is occurring, who has the obligation to remove themselves from the damaging situation? The Rabbanon would say, ala mazik. The Rabbanon would say, it is the damager who has an obligation to go and remove himself. It would appear, michlal, to Rabbi Yossi savar, al hanizak laharches es atzmo. It would appear that Rabbi Yossi would say what? It's on the damaged party to remove himself. Rabbi Yossi, you say to yourself, that doesn't make any sense. Why would the nizak have an obligation? It doesn't, because remember, in halacha, I have an obligation to prevent damage from occurring to myself as well. If I realize that damage is happening now, see, in halacha, I don't know how this works in the legal system, but in halacha, I can't say, well, listen, since you're already at fault for damaging me, I have no obligation to stem my own loss. Rather, you're liable, and once you're liable, I'm not liable. In halacha, even if somebody else is damaging me, I have an obligation to try to stem my loss as much as possible. That's the logic of it. Rabbi Yossi says, you realize you're being damaged, you realize that your vegetable patch is being damaged by the flax pool, you have to remove yourself. So Gemara says, Yala nizak, afilu mishra v'yakunami. But one second. Let's analyze this. If it's true, according to Rabbi Yossi, that the obligation is upon the damaged party to remove himself from being damaged, then Rabbi Yossi, that's not just meaning Rabbi Yossi, remember, Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon are arguing, seem to be arguing in which case? In the case of the bees and the mustard. Thank you. The bees and the mustard. But if that's the case, that the machlokis over here is about Who has the obligation to remove themselves from a damaging circumstance? Is it the mazik, like the Rabbanan say, or is it the nizak, like Rabbi Yossi says? Then why is this machlokes limited to the mustard and the bees? I feel a mishra v'yarkanami. This machlokes applies also what? To the flax pool and to the vegetable garden. Remember, the flax pool is the mazik, the vegetable garden is the nizak. Again, the Rabbanan would say the owner of the flax pool has to remove his flax pool. The Rabbi Yossi would say the owner of the vegetable garden has to remove his vegetables. Eli Olam rather says the Gemara, again, but the kasha is the Brisa only records the machlokas by the bees and the honey, doesn't record the machlokas by the other cases. To which the Gemara says, Eli Olam, Rabbi Yossi, Nami Allah Mazik Sirale. So rather, again, the Gemara says no. Even Rabbi Yossi agrees that what? That the obligation to remove oneself from a damaging situation is upon the damager. We'll say first white line, Yud Ches Amud Beis. So, what?
Why is a chazaka important? This takes two. One's there first.
Because they both have rights in their property. They both have rights in their property. There's no chazaka over here. Chazaka is a situation where there's contested land. Here, I have a chazak on my property, you have a chazak on your property. Right? Let's finish the sugya. There's no chazaka applies in a situation where somebody's trying to lay claim to something. Here, there's not a question of claim. Here, both are using their properties within their rights. The shayla is, my rights encroach on your rights. Not a din in chazaka. So the Gemara says the following. So says the Gemara the following. So remember, now what we're suggesting is that Lamaisa, at the end of the day, even Rabbi Yossi agrees that what? That it's al hamazik. It is upon the damager to go ahead and remove himself. So v'achi ka'amar Rabbi Yossi the Rabbanan. Teinach, mishra v'yarka, dahani maski, v'hani lo maski. So also listen to this. Rabbi Yossi says you have to distinguish the cases. In the case of the flax and the vegetables, one is clearly a mazik, and one is not a mazik. Right? Remember again, the flax damages the vegetables. The vegetables do not damage the flax. So you clearly have a mazik nizak scenario. Therefore, again, elachardo v'divorim, tarvayu maski ahadodi. But say, here's the issue, says Rabbi Yossi. So remember again, but when it comes to the mustard and the bees, so both of them are mazikim. We can't go ahead and claim that one is the mazik, one is the nizak, because they both adversely affect the other. Therefore, again, I will say, therefore, in that case, that's the one case where Rabbi Yossi will say, listen, it's hard for one to have a claim against the other that you should have to distance your mustard seeds because you're damaging my bees, because the owner of the mustard seed could say, your bees are damaging my mustard seeds. That's what he will say. But that's why Rabbi Yossi pipes up. That's why he goes ahead and he speaks out in that case. Because that case is not, see, the way the Brisa groups them is it sounds like bees and mustard are in the same category as flax and vegetables. To which Rabbi Yossi says that's not the case. Flax and vegetables, there's a clear mazik and a clear nizak. In the case of bees and honey, it's not clear, meaning they're both being damaged, but they're both damagers as well. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. In that case, one can't really compel the other to do anything. To which the Gemara says, V'Rabbanan, Devorim l'charda lo maskeis. So we'll say the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yossi. They say no. At the end of the day, the bees don't really damage the mustard plants. How so? I bebinsa lo mashkachas. So we'll say, listen to this. If you're worried about the mustard seed, now apparently, the real essence of a mustard plant is the mustard seed. If you're worrying about the bees going ahead and what? If eating the seed, then lemaisa again, the bees don't find the seed. Ibitartha, if you're worried about the bees eating the flower, then hadar pari, then you don't have to worry about that. Why? Because the flower ultimately blossoms back. So we'll say, so therefore, again, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that there's a fundamental machlokes in the metzias over here. That, no, not the metzias is the wrong word. That's a fundamental machlokes, and if you view the mustard plant as being damaged. Rabbi Yossi says yes, at the end of the day, the birds are eating the flowers of the seeds, they're damaging. So I bought and say, that's not damage. A, because they're not really getting to the essence of the plant, which is the seed. B, even if they pick up the flowers, who cares, the flowers grow back. But where we are right now is that really they're not arguing in principle. Meaning, in principle, they both agree that when you have a mazik and a nizak, the obligation is upon the mazik to distance himself from the damaging situation. Their machlokes is just simply how to view the mustard B case. Rabbi Yossi says they're both mazikim, therefore neither could compel upon the other to go ahead and move. The Rabbanan say no, the B is the nizak, the mustard is the mazik, and therefore the mustard must move. As it says Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yossi on the mazik, but is that true that Rabbi Yossi holds that the damager must distance himself? But yet we learned that even though a bar, let's say Reuben has a bar in his field, I have an Elon in my field, even though the bar was first, and I planted the tree afterwards, I do not have to cut down my tree. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi has an interesting shita, and Rabbi Yossi's shita is, I am entitled to do whatever I want in my field. Right, that's Rabbi Yossi's shita. I am entitled to do whatever I want in my field. I, later on, at some point subsequently, what's going to happen? My roots are going to encroach onto your bar. That's my prerogative. So you see from here, that's what? Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold ala mazik laharchis es atzmo. Because if Rabbi Yossi held that the mazik has an obligation to distance himself from the nizak, then what? Then he should be obligated to observe a proactive setback of 25 amas to make sure that the tree never encroaches on the bar. To which the Gemara says, rather, you're right. Rabbi Yossi holds that the obligation, Rabbi Yossi, to avoid damage is upon the damaged party. The damaged party, the nizak, must go ahead and distance himself. Listen to this. And in this braisa, Rabbi Yossi is addressing the shita of the Rabbanan. How so? So he says, if I lididi al hanizak laharchis es atzmo. Rabbi Yossi says, really, according to me, I believe that it's the damaged party who is obligated to remove himself from damaging circumstances. That is his obligation, to remove himself from damaging circumstances. Va'afilu mishra v'yarko lo ba'i rechuke. And I believe that even in the case of the flax pool and the vegetable garden, that it is the owner of the vegetable garden who has the obligation to relocate. Right? That's the halacha on the nizik. If you're being damaged, I guess, I want to be clear, you're being damaged by someone else's legal use of their property. Obviously, if I'm doing something wrong and that's adversely affecting my neighbor, that's something different. But if I am being damaged by my neighbor's legal use of his property, Rabbi Yossi says, it is my obligation, the nizak's obligation, the damaged party's obligation, to remove himself from the damaging situation. So I have to replant my vegetable garden somewhere else. That's Rabbi Yossi. Ella ledidachu de amriso ala mazik. But you Rabbanon who say that no, the obligation of relocation is upon who? Is upon the mazik, the damager. Tenach mishra v'yarko, tahani maskihani, bahani lo maskihani. I understand that in the case of a flax pool in the vegetable garden, where the flax pool is damaging the vegetable garden, but what? The vegetable garden is not damaging the flax pool. However, in the case of the mustard and the bees, they are both being mazik one another. So we'll say, here's what's coming out. What's coming out over here is there is a fundamental, earth-shattering machlokis between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon. That in a case where there is a mazik and a nizak, who is obligated to remove themselves in order to prevent further damage? The Rabbanon say the mazik. Damager must remove himself in order to stop damaging the damaged party. Rabbi Yossi says, Al Hanizak. Rabbi Yossi says, listen, Rabbanon, I understand your shita in the case of the flax pool and the vegetable garden. Where what? You have a clearly defined mazik, the flax pool, and a clearly defined nizak, the vegetable garden. But I disagree with your assessment in the case of the bees and the mustard. Because in that case, Rabbi Yossi says, I believe you don't have a clear-cut case of a mazik and the nizak. Instead, what do you have? What do you have? Two mazikin. You have two damagers. And therefore, in a case of two damagers, one party cannot compel the other to move. What did the Rabbanon say? So we'll say, this will stop. The Rabbanon, divorim lacharda lo maski. The Rabbanon will say, no. Bees are not, it's not true. It's the mustard plant that's the damager. The bees aren't the damager. Why not? Because we'll say, if you want to say that you're concerned that the bees will eat the seed, top of Yutes, that doesn't happen. The bees never find the seed. They're not able to get to the seed. And ir betarfa, and if you want to say the concern is that the bees consume the flower, then hadar pe'iri, that's not a big deal because the flower grows back. So we'll say, so where we leave off today, and again, we'll start tomorrow with the halacha l'maisa, but where we leave off today is in a fascinating point, where now we've clarified the machlokis, Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon. And the machlokis is in a case where there is a mazik and there is a nizak, who is obligated to remove themselves in order to stem any future damage. The Rabbanon say, ala mazik, the damager is obligated to leave the situation. Rabbi Yossi says, the nizak, the damaged party, is obligated to leave the situation. The machlokis is held to assess the case of bees and mustard. The Rabbanon say that is a case of mazik and nizak. The mustard is the mazik. The bees are the nizak. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, that is a case of mutual mazikim. And because it's a case of mutual mazikim, even you, Rabbanon, must agree that one party cannot compel the other to move. I suppose I'll stop here. Again, we'll begin in the answer show tomorrow with the resolution of this machlokes.
Does the Rabbanon agree on mutual mazik?
Yeah. If, according to the Rabbanon, if you were